Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Friends and family, that they'd just be filled up with Jesus, that they may experience that love and that grace and that mercy that we've all been so blessed with. By the way, I love this when I get to do this. We had another yes this last week. So we get to never give up. Never give up. People are still coming to Jesus. I need to start doing better of keeping track of exactly how many people have come to Jesus since we started this My Three movement. Since we started taking the time to make sure that we're praying for people by name each and every day to never give up that they may come. And this was also somebody who was later in life. Never give up, because each person deserves that opportunity to know the grace that comes through Jesus. And that's why I want to encourage you guys to not back down, to not stop praying for those people in your life that are walking around with no hope, no joy, that comes straight from Christ alone. That they may have that experience, because it's never too late. It is never too late until they take their last breath. So let's keep pushing forward, church, and let's not give up. Let's take a moment now and pray for these people in our lives who need Jesus and lift them up by name. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness and for the way that you provide. Father, I thank you for the way that you tell us that you don't want one to perish. Lord, we all have so many dear friends and loved ones that don't know you right now. And Lord, we bring them to you at this moment. We lift them up. Lord, we know we're not the ones who can do the saving, but we know you can. Father, we pray that you draw them towards you, and that they may just have this overwhelming desire to seek you out. And Father, that they may be willing to submit to you inside of these moments. Lord, I ask that we learn to speak when we need to speak, and that we learn to hold our tongue when we need to hold our tongue. And that we may become good representatives of you to the world around us, planting seeds everywhere we go and being a light in our community. Father, I thank you for the way you provide in advance. And I thank you for each one of these people lifted up by name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just continue to worship.
I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise, treasures of fame, never enough. And you came along and put me back together.
Better than you, oh, there's nothing.
could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I'll throw
you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness.
Of God. Isn't that so much truth? That song plays in perfectly to what we're going to be talking about this morning. Good morning, church. I'm thankful for everybody that's here this morning. I'm thankful that we could come together, that we have this ability to praise and worship our Savior. I want to welcome our guests here this morning. If you're new here this morning, we would love for you to fill out one of those Connect cards so that we can just know a little bit more about you. And we are thankful that you could join us. Also, I want to welcome those who are joining us online and the radio. We're glad that you could join us. But before we dive into our message this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, we just ask that this time may be a time that glorifies you. Father, I ask that you open up our hearts and our minds to seek you. Father, that we may learn more about you and your goodness and the way that you provide even in the middles of life storms. Lord, I ask that you give me the strength I need this morning. And Father, I ask that it's your words that are spoken and not mine. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we ask that you penetrate even the hardest of hearts and that we seek a deeper relationship with you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the last couple of weeks, we've been going through the Mark chapter 4 in our Life of Christ series, and it's been an interesting chapter. It's been one that has pushed us, and it's teaching us multiple things over and over through numerous parables. You know, and primarily, though, the premise was Jesus was saying for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? To go out, plant seeds, to go out and proclaim the name, to be a light in our community and the world around us. And let's be honest, sometimes that's easier said than done. Sometimes that is easier to say, absolutely, let's go do it. Oh, you mean actually talk to people. You know, especially since COVID, we really like to stay behind that line, it seems. But we were reminded in the last couple weeks that that is part of our job. And last week, we were reminded that it's not our job to transform people's lives, that that's God's job, and that instead we're just called to go out and plant the seed. And it can be frustrating when people don't respond like we hope they would. It can be frustrating when they don't see the goodness of God the way that we see it, or at least how we hope they will. But we need to remember that Jesus is the one that transforms lives. He's the one that does the work within them, and he draws them to him. But we were also reminded last week that we get to partner with God in this process, that we get to go out and we get to witness him do these amazing works in people's lives. And isn't that just awesome? Because he's the one who does that. We get to partner, but we get to let God worry about the rest. You know, this idea of letting God take the worry, this idea of letting God take control in different areas in our lives, that can be difficult for us, even as believers. It can be a difficult thing to say. I mean, so often when we face different storms in our lives, you know, what do we often say? Well, we're trusting Jesus. Or when we know somebody else is facing a storm in their life, what do? We tell them to go out and just, you know what? I know it's a difficult road you've got right now. Just trust Jesus. We say that over and over again. And it starts to the point that the world around us actually has heard Christians say it so often that I think sometimes they think that we don't face any trials and tribulations. That we just have this easy life. And that nothing really bad comes into a believer's life too often. And to be honest with you, I think some of that mindset has even dribbled into the churches. Like, we are shocked when we face a hardship. When something happens that is unexpected, we're almost like, but this can happen to us? I said yes to Jesus. How can I be facing this difficult moment in my life? But that's not how this works. We are still here on this side of heaven. We are going to have difficult times. I read something this week. It was interesting, and the person titled it Storm Theology. And it's the idea that behind storm theology is that what we believe about God when the storms of life comes our way. How we view God when the storms of life comes. When we face that crisis moment, Something we never expected to happen. That is when storm theology comes out. Storm theology at its core is how you view God when everything goes wrong in your life, when everything falls apart. You see, when you enter the storms of our lives, when everything goes wrong, when the doctor's got bad news, when you lose your job, when your relationships fall apart, and a million and one other things that can come up around us, it's in those moments that your true faith will shine out to the world around you. It's in those moments that everything is brought to the surface, where everyone can see where you stand in with God. It will reveal if you trust God or if you doubt him. The storms of life and how you react to them will reveal truths about yourself that you may have never wanted to know. You see, how we respond in our storms shows where our faith is. Is it built on solid ground, or does it come tumbling down? It doesn't mean there may not be shaken, but will it stand at the end? You know, it's really easy when life is going well. It's really easy to follow Jesus inside of those moments when everything is going well. It's easy to declare his name to the world around you when there's no trouble that you're facing and there's no backlash for it. It's easy to say that God is good when life is going how you always hoped it would. When your job's going well, when you just get a promotion, when relationships are coming together, in fact, they may be better than they've ever been before, any of these situations that are going on, when your health is good, you go to the doctor for your yearly checkup, and he's like, keep it up. I mean, everything is right where you need it. When the kids are listening, that is a miracle in and of itself. But when everything in life is starting to come together, and everything is going how you want, in those moments, it is very easy to declare Jesus, is it not? It's very easy to say, thank you, Lord, for my life is going how I've always wanted it to. It's in those moments that it's easy to say how good God is and to thank him for all the blessings in our lives. But the true test of our faith is when the storms of life come along. When things in our lives stop going how we wanted to, it's on those moments that we have an opportunity to be one of the greatest witnesses to the world around us. It's in those moments that we get to truly declare who Jesus is in our lives and in relationship with us. Was it just words, or do you truly believe that Jesus is Lord of your life? This morning, the title of the message is When the Storms Come Crashing. We're going to finish up over in Mark chapter 4. We're going to finish it out today, starting in verse 35 for those who want to follow along. But before we dive in, let's go ahead and let's read through 35 through 41. And it says, on that day, when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Yikes. And they were terrified and asked one another, who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. You know, Jesus had just gotten done teaching to the multitudes along the seashore. And if we recall all the way back to verse 1 in this chapter, it tells us that Jesus was along the sea where he would begin teaching, and many people had come out to hear him. In fact, the crowd had gotten so large, he had to enter into one of the boats to be able to teach from, because they kept pressing in so that others could hear him. And he had just done that. It would have been a long day at this point. So we can understand why he says in verse 35, On that day, when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." This would have been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, over to the east side. Now, leaving in the evening and sailing at night would not have been a big deal. Remember, Peter and a couple of the other disciples were experienced fishermen. They would have had experience going out over the sea and typically at night to navigate through. See, sailing at night was nothing new to them. And fishing, in fact, was often its best in the evening. So this would have been a common thing for them to do. And on top of that, can we really blame Jesus for wanting to set sail? He would have just had a long day of teaching and healing, and this would have given him an opportunity to rest. We forget sometimes that Jesus, though he is fully God, he was also fully man. That Jesus needed that moment of rest as well, just like we all need it. The passage continues in verse 36, where it says, "So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was in the boat, and other boats were with him." Though Jesus did leave the crowds, him and the disciples did not leave this area alone. There were others around them. There were others that were following them. There were boats that were following them out onto the lake, and some, I'm sure, were following him onto his next area of ministry. We need to remember, everywhere that Jesus went, it wasn't just the 12. Typically, when we think of Jesus and his travels and everything he was doing, we think of the 12 disciples going with him. But the Bible talks about that there were many more that followed Jesus as well. So these are most likely other people traveling along. And on top of that, there would have been fishermen heading out. This is in the evening. The fishing would have been better at night. So you have other fishermen heading out to go out and do their fishing and come on around. Josephus, who was an ancient historian, wrote that there was roughly around 300 boats at a time out on this sea. So there would have been a large group of other boats out there with them as they're going out. And that's an important thing for us to remember a little later on. It tells us in verse 37, though, "A great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped." Now see, the Sea of Galilee is a very unusual body of water. It's actually relatively a small body of water. It's 13 miles long. It's 7 miles wide. But at its deepest point, it's 150 feet deep. But it also has 680 feet below sea level, surrounded by mountains all the way. And because of all of this, it was very susceptible for sudden storms to pop up. And I don't just mean like little storms. I'm talking 20-foot waves to pop up. It'll still happen today. It'll pop up and gladly 20-foot, and by the way, that would be above the screen to give you an idea of size. Now, that's some waves. But here's the thing. Now, typically, these storms actually popped up in the afternoon, not in the evening or at night. This was an odd time for this storm to pop up. You know, they didn't just set out without thinking about the weather. They didn't just set out and get into the boat and expecting, you know, not looking and thinking about it. But it was so odd that these storms would pop up in the middle of the night. I mean, these were experienced fishermen. None of the other boats would have been out there if it wasn't a good time. The storm came out of nowhere, completely unexpected. And it was so bad that the boat started to be swamped. And if you don't know what that means, it means the waves come crashing over to the top of the boat and it starts filling with water. And if you've never been in that situation, you don't know how nerve-wracking that can be. I have been in that situation. Out on the lake fishing, and somebody came through with a really nice boat that was like one of those wake boats that people like ski behind and everything. It just started swamping my boat. Thankfully, I had something to pump the water back out, but everything was floating in there. It happened so quickly, and that's what was going on. But isn't that how life goes? Isn't that how often the storms are our lives? You know, we normally don't have time to prepare for when the storms come. This was an ideal evening. Everything would have been going well. They wouldn't have been expecting. And then suddenly out of nowhere, this storm pops up. We go through life so often where we are walking along, things seem to be going well. And then out of nowhere, the storms of life pop up. You know, it's not like we get a warning ahead of time, like in 3 years times that, you know, in 3 years, the doctor's going to have really bad news for you. So you need to start planning stuff. That's not how this works, is it? The storms of life just come out of anywhere and they just knock us around. They start beating us in. You know, people don't go into marriages and relationships expecting that they're going to fail. You don't start with a company with the idea in 5 or 10 years they're going to close the door but give you no heads up about it. And you suddenly lose your job. You don't buy a car with the idea that you're going to be in an accident in the next couple months or years. And nothing can prepare us for the loss of a loved one. Nothing can prepare us for those moments. The storms of life, they pop up out of nowhere before we even have time to understand what's going on. And some of these storms can bring us to our knees. And some of these storms can make us panic, like it did the disciples, where everything was crashing around them. Where we just feel swamped by life and reality. It's like a big ship sinking. But when was the last time you were in a storm like that in your life? I know there are some of you in here today that are in the middle of your storm. There are some of you in here today that are facing a storm that is battering you one side to the other. And all you're trying to do is keep your head above water, wondering when it's going to be over. You know, it's in these moments that we can even start to wonder, where is God? We can start asking these questions. And for some, it's even in these moments where they start questioning their faith. I want to remind everybody of something this morning. Jesus never promised us an easy life to follow him. He never promised us an easy life away from him either. In fact, he tells us to pick up our cross daily and to follow him. And we're told that we're going to be hated because of him. John 16:33 tells us, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. We're reminded that we're going to have suffering this side of heaven. We're going to face trials and tribulations. Whether we're in Christ or not, everyone in this world faces storms. Everyone in this world has difficult moments. Just because we're believers doesn't mean we're immune to this. It doesn't mean that we're immune to trials and tribulations. But what we do have is a relationship with our Savior, and he tells us that he's already conquered the world, and that we are to be courageous. Because he's already conquered the world. He's already made a way where there was no way. And that we no longer have to face this world alone. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, cast all your cares on him because he cares about you. It tells us in Hebrews, therefore let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in times of need. Tells us in Deuteronomy, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid, for the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. There are so many verses that I could reference this morning here. You know, the Bible never says that our life is going to be easy. It never says that we won't face these trials, but we are promised over and over again that we don't have to face this world alone, that we don't have to face these trials and stuff alone, that he walks with us and he talks with us, and that he gives us all the wisdom we need inside of those moments. It may only be able what we can see a foot in front of us, but he has provided a way already. We are just called to trust Jesus inside of these storms, knowing that he's the one who takes care of it. You know, church, I'm telling you, I face my fair share of trials and tribulations and storms in my own life over and over again. I've had moments and times in life I have faced these where I faced them alone, and I've had moments in time when I faced them when I was with Jesus. Both of them absolutely were horrible, but I'm going to tell you right now, with Jesus, it was peaceful. There was a calm about it. It wasn't easy. It wasn't fun, but I knew I had God at my side through it all, even though it wasn't how I ever expected. We are called to keep our eyes on Jesus. I have failed God many times, but he has never failed me. You know, often when we face these challenges in life, when these storms pop up, we can find ourselves asking, where is God inside of the moment? And we actually see the disciples doing this very thing in verse 38. What did we see him do? He was in the stern, he being Jesus, and he was sleeping on a cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" Now here's the thing. In the middle of this huge storm, Jesus was on the stern, sleeping on the cushions. I find it interesting that they mention cushion in here. I mean, how could Jesus be asleep in the storm? I think it's a great reminder of us, of his human nature, and that he was completely physically exhausted after all of that teaching, all of the healing, everything that he'd been doing, that he was able to sleep through the middle of this storm. Think about it. The waves would have been crashing. The wind would have been roaring. There would have been spray coming all over of the cold water. And none of that was waking him up. He was physically drained. And it sounds like he was a pretty heavy sleeper. I'm guilty of that myself. I will sleep through any storm. It knocks me right out. But what do the disciples do when the storm starts crashing around them? When the trip was not going as they had expected, they panicked and they went and they woke Jesus up. What I find interesting, though, is what they said to him. "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" I mean, think about this for a moment. They have seen him do miracles. They have seen him do things that nothing else could explain. You know, Jesus had healed the blind. He had made the deaf hear again. He had healed so many different people and different ailments. He'd cast out demons. He had done all of these things. Yet at this moment, they had forgotten all of that. And they panicked in the middle of their storm. They had forgotten what Jesus had been capable of. You know, it's really easy for us to criticize them inside of this moment. It's really easy to be like, how could they not? I mean, they've seen all of this. How could they be worried? Guys, we do the same thing. Over and over again, we do the same thing. When the storms of life come our way, what do? We panic, we worry, and we stop trusting God. Oh, we may have some nice words, but in the truth of it, what are we trying to do? We're trying to grab the reins of everything, trying to pull it back in, try to put it back to how we want it. And we don't trust God. You know, it's easy to be positive with God when things are going our way, but that moment the storm comes up, the obstacles that we don't foresee, we like to run and hide. Because life is not how we wanted. And we wonder, does God even care? Don't you understand that we're going to die? Israel did the same thing in the desert over and over again. If you've been reading along with our Bible reading, God removed them from slavery in Egypt. And what did they do? They complained the rest of the way through. Even said, why don't we just go back to the storm where we were slaves? Not understanding what God was doing, just as we don't always understand. Just as the disciples didn't understand in that moment. I don't think we often understand that sometimes that storm has to come up to clear a way so that God can put us where he wants us in life, to keep us moving forward. Because God has never lost control in the middle of our storms. Verse 39 tells us, He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The very first thing Jesus did when he woke up, if you notice, he didn't talk to the disciples. He didn't go to the disciples. Instead, he rebuked the storm and he caused it to cease. He provided this great calm. And can you imagine how shocked the disciples would have been? Or what about the 300 other boats out there? Remember, it wasn't just the disciples and Jesus out here. There would have been many other boats clashing around, and they would have just witnessed it suddenly stop and go to a complete calm. Jesus was clearly in control even in the middle of this storm. Even in the storms that we face in our lives, he is fully in control if we allow him to be. He has not left us. He's not unaware of what's going on in our lives. But he is asking us to trust him, to not be afraid, but to look to him. To look to him. Sometimes easier said than done, isn't it? Jesus continued in verse 40. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" This is a powerful question. This is a very powerful question that he's asking his disciples. They have seen Jesus do all of these miracles. They have seen him work in ways that no one else could ever do. Yet they showed no faith in sight of this moment. You know, when the storms of life come crashing and everything is working against you, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? And hear me on this. Think back throughout your life. How many storms in your life have you faced over the years? How often have the winds and the rain and the waves come crashing through and knocked you around? I want you to think about all the times that you've walked through there, and yet God provided each step. He protected you in ways you never figured out, where he's provided where there was no other way. I know so many of you guys in here have storms in your life that you have faced, that you could share story after story of how God has provided for you in unique moments. See, when we fit those storms in life, that is what we need to do when the storm starts raging, is to look back on everything that Jesus has done in our lives, in our families' lives, in our churches' lives, everything around us that is supposed to bring us strength and renewed mind, remembering that God provides in the middle of it all, that he never stopped having control. No matter how scary it may seem, that we can have faith that Jesus is with us no matter what's going on, that he will not let us fail in his eyes. We got to remember that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that does not look to Jesus often, and because of that, there's consequences. And I want to remind you guys of something. You know, we often hear people say, "Oh, everything's for God's good." Here's the thing, not everything is good. There is evil we face on a daily basis. The devil is working inside of our communities, inside of people's lives, trying to destroy us each and every way, bringing things through. But here's what I do believe. Though not everything is good, God has the ability to take the most evil situation and work it out for his good. He can use it to point it back to him. And this is what we are called to do. We've been talking about being the hands and feet of Jesus, about planting seeds and everything else. How we respond in the moments of our storms show our testimony. It shows what we believe about God. It shows what we're capable of and what our God is capable of and how he works through us.
You know, when the world sees that everything's going well, of course you believe in God. Everything is good. But in the middle of the storm, if you are praising him and rejoicing and thanking him for this opportunity to bring glory and saying, Lord, I trust you. I don't know where it's going, but I trust you. You want to see how people around you start rallying. They want to know who this God is that you're serving and that you're worshiping. This God that you're excited about. Because let me tell you, I shouldn't be here at times. You guys probably shouldn't be here. We all have testimonies of how God has worked in our lives and done amazing things, and we cannot explain it on our own. It is only through Jesus. And we needed to declare that in the good and bad. Whether we have a little or a lot, we thank God for what we have, and we declare it boldly to the world around us, remembering everything he has done in our past. Isn't that exciting that we get to partner with him? It may not be fun, but praise God we get to go through it. You know, the rest of the world, they don't get that. They face the storm alone. We have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he is there with us through it all. You know, in verse 41, it wraps up the disciples' response. And it says, and they were terrified and asked one another, who then is this? Even the winds and the seas obey him. Even the winds and the seas. See, the disciples, they knew Jesus was something special. They understood that. They'd seen him do enough stuff and heard, but they were still kind of used to the human side of Jesus. You know, it's kind of like for us. A lot of times we look at Jesus as our friend, right? We look at him as like he could almost be our buddy, our pal. But those moments, and in this moment, the disciples saw something even more. They saw the nature of God within it. The fact that Jesus could calm the storm with just his voice was something they could not comprehend, and it was overwhelming and scary for them. Sometimes when we're going through our storm and we're calling out to God and he starts working those miracles, it becomes scary to us because we're like, wow, he's actually doing it. This is terrifying inside of that moment. There are reasons that some people back off of God inside of there. It can become overwhelming, and that's what the disciples were. But praise God, we get to experience it and that we know that he is right there with us. See, it's in these moments that we often gain that deeper understanding of the fact that he is the creator of the universe and that he loves us enough to have a relationship with us, to seek us, where he made a way where there was no other way because Jesus loves us. Folks, we are going to hit storms in life. We're going to have difficult roads ahead of us at different times. It's not going to be easy all the time. But Jesus travels with us. He neither leaves us or forsakes us. And it's in these moments that we get to declare who God is to the world around us. And we get to have hope that he's already made a plan. Jesus knew the storm was coming, but he also knew he could overrule it. Let us have faith inside of these moments. Who is God to you when the storms of life come raging? Do you feel peaceful? Do you feel at peace? Do you trust him? Do you trust Jesus in the middle of the storms? Or do you constantly go on your own? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the reminder that you are there for us in the middle of our life's storms, that you never leave us or forsake us, that you walk with us even through the most difficult trials that we may face. Lord, may we tune our hearts to you no matter where we're at in our lives. May we find the joy even in the middle of the storms and declare that you are Lord. May we be witnesses to the world around us on what it means to be followers of you, no matter what we face, not just in the good times, but also the bad. I thank you for all of this in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, there's times in our life that Tim was just talking about where we're going to be in a bad place sometimes. We're going to be sometimes in those valleys, sometimes on the mountains. And we're just, sometimes you just only want to speak the word Jesus. That's what we're doing right now.
Jesus.
Amen. I didn't know Kerwin was finishing up with this song this morning. But how much truth is that? Speak Jesus into every situation of our lives, remembering that he's the one in control, not us. No matter what we face, no matter what the storms of life that are raging, we can trust in him to guide us, to bring us peace, to walk with us. And praise God for that today. God bless you guys. Remember Jesus no matter what you face. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.